It's time!
You're listening to Game Rex with W.A. DeVinny.
I have never been more excited.
On WMUC Digital College Park.
Hello, happy Friday, everybody. It has been one crazy week for me. We are in the finals season, and you can tell my brain's not working all the way because I just abruptly cut off my intro at the end there. It's got a little fadeaway thing at the end. That's how it's supposed to cut off. But that's okay. We've got some pretty crazy news to get to today. We have some wild stuff about GameStop, a new Switch 2 game, and speaking of the Switch 2, some price updates concerning the system. I am W.A. DeVinny. You are listening to WMUC Digital College Park. My friends, my thoughts on GameStop are complicated. I did used to work at GameStop. I think it's important that I disclose that. I did used to work at GameStop, but I will try to be fair to them. I worked for them for three different stints, and I have come to learn in that time, if you work for GameStop as long as I did, you come to learn that there are some big business flaws in the system. I guess you don't learn that if you're the CEO of GameStop. I don't know if you've heard this news. I think it dripped into mainstream media a little bit. GameStop wants to buy a company. They are looking to increase their valuation. They want to make an acquisition. If I gave you all the guesses, if you haven't heard the story, if I gave you all the guesses in the world which company GameStop wants to acquire, you would not guess it. You would not guess it. Sorry about that. I've got some water. We've got a dry mouth today. But GameStop announced that they are going to make a bid for eBay. They are going to attempt to acquire eBay. Not because eBay is looking to sell. Not because they're worth more than eBay. They're not, by quite a large margin. They just want to buy eBay. They said that they are going to prepare an offer. And first of all, let me tell you why they're doing this. So the CEO of GameStop, he has a stipulation in his contract where if he can get the value of GameStop up to $40 billion at the end of some length of time, then he gets a payment package worth some like $4 billion or something like that. It's not 100% clear what the details are. We just know that it's definitely $40 billion and he definitely gets a lot of money. So, off rip, you gotta think that's the reason they are doing this. But I don't need to tell you that if it went through, let's just imagine a world where the impossible happens. Where the bunny rabbits are fortune tellers and you can pull Chris Christie out of a hat. And this actually goes through. It would ruin GameStop. They'd have to go into significant debt. And while eBay is a cash positive business, it would definitely... There's no way it would cover the obligations that GameStop would have to undertake to make this work in any way, shape, or form. I know I got my radio start with Stephen Funk. Actually, that's not true. I got my radio start on the Mindcastle way back when. But my last show that I did before I got my own show was Moral Hazard with the incomparable Stephen Fung, and I got to learn a lot about private equity and how some of these deals get funded on that show. And let me tell you something, even if it could happen, GameStop does not want to go into that kind of debt to buy eBay. But that's just the technical side of it. What does eBay stand to gain it from this? By the way, if eBay agrees to this acquisition, I will eat my boots. If eBay agrees to this acquisition, I will walk back to my parents' house in Virginia from here in Maryland. There is nothing that GameStop could possibly add to eBay or possibly do for eBay that would make this even remotely worth it. And I don't think I need to say that either. Here's the thing about GameStop. We'll talk briefly about... We'll talk about it now. GameStop has a bit of a problem with their budget right now, right? So they've been closing a lot of stores. There was one store near me in Greenbelt that had... I did a video... One of my first GameRex videos that I... My short-form content. One of the first videos that I ever did for that was these really cool window... What's the name? Decals. These window decals for games from, like, 2009. There was Super Mario Galaxy. There was Sonic Unleashed. There was Halo 3. Absolutely fantastic little store. They had to close it down. It's a Boost Mobile now. It was a tragedy. I don't know what they did. You can still see the residue from these decals, because, you know, they were there forever. And when I asked one of the GameStop people in, or one of the employees in the store, she told me one of the reasons it's still up is just because they couldn't take it down. Well, they got it down, and so, you know, there's a piece of video game history that was perfectly preserved that's now tossed away. But, you know, the point I'm trying to get at with all this is they've closed a lot of stores, so now they're in the black. So GameStop can report, like, I would think it was like a 7% increase in profits year over year from last year, but that's because they've cut a lot of fat. They're not really adding anything to... They're not adding value. They're just removing potential assets. GameStop has tried everything except appealing to gamers over the past few years. And it's true. The video game industry, it's not a huge market. I'll be the first to admit that. But a big problem... I mean, let's think about it. You walk into a GameStop, right? What's the first thing you see? Well, it might not be the video games. It's probably all the plushes in one corner and the mega wall of Funko Pops on one of the walls and the tower of nonsense in the middle of the floor. It's trying to be Hot Topic a little bit, you know? And that reminds me, I forgot the t-shirts. Those t-shirts are annoying when you are working there. I learned how to fold a good t-shirt, though, when I was working at GameStop. I'll tell you that much. But you kind of gotta... Well, you don't really have to look for the video games. You know, they're there in abundance. But at the same time, you're looking around, it's like, okay, well, I see what's going... You know, this doesn't really feel like a video game store. This feels more like a nerd store. And, you know, while that might seem on paper like a better idea, they're kind of losing their market a little bit. Now, one thing, and I have to talk about this because it is all important to this. The one non-video game product that they have done a great job with profiting off of is trading cards, because trading cards make people feral. I don't know if you've seen any of those videos about... Penguin Zero does a lot of these videos. he will talk about these people who are getting into fist fights, trying to scalp Pokemon cards, you know, like pushing children, camping out outside of these vending machines. It's some real, I don't care if it's actually, they're making a profit. They might be making a profit. I don't know. But it's some loser behavior. I feel like, I'm going to go on a little bit of a mini tangent here. I feel like the age of the instant internet with, you know, like social media videos, I think some people are a lot more willing to sacrifice their pride and their dignity for nonsense. There was a day, and oh God, I sound like a crotchety old man saying this, but there was a day when you wouldn't be caught dead camping out outside of a vending machine, like a vending machine for what's basically, what basically comes down to a kid's toy. And you'd be publicly humiliated for that. I mean, yes, they're being publicly humiliated now, but there's no shame. That's the problem. There's a lack of shame. People would be humiliated once upon a time if this were to happen and it were to get out. I'm sorry, that's a little tangent. This is a video game show, I promise. But yeah, so GameStop owns a trading card grading service. That's all they really bring to the eBay table. Meanwhile, eBay is doing just fine. They're basically Amazon for the stuff you can't find on Amazon. There's nothing I can really say about eBay that really adds to this conversation. The other problem that I was starting to get into, but then I kind of got sidetracked on, is for GameStop, they're not making their money from the right places. Now, I don't know if you know this, but the margins on, for a brick-and-mortar store, the margins on new video games kind of stink. For every copy, for every $60 Nintendo game, brand new Nintendo game, for example, that GameStop sells, they end up making, like, $10 on that. They are, the Nintendo gets the majority of the money on that sale. And it's because they hold all the cards in their licensing agreements. They have 100% control over who can carry a Switch game in their store. And it's the same thing for Microsoft and PlayStation. But that doesn't sink the business, because when GameStop sells a pre-owned game, they get all of the profit that is associated with that. They get everything. So naturally, you would think that they would really go all in on their pre-owned video game library, right? And especially like stuff like retro video games, where, you know, there are no more new retro video games, and that's still, that's a market, that's a very specific market that people might want to go into. And I'll talk about the GameStop retro efforts in a second here, but they don't really do that. Here's one thing that really bothers me. So if you're not 100% familiar with the way video game markets work, I mean like secondhand markets, that is, there are three, keeping it simple, there are three conditions for a video game to be in. It's either loose, complete in box, or new. Now, there are a bunch of other conditions, but for now, just think about it as loose, complete in box, or new. Loose means, let's say it's a PS4 game. Loose means that you just have the disc, right? That's all you're getting. Complete in box means you get the disc, you get the case, you get the manual, you get everything that the game came with when it was new. It is complete and it is in the box. And then new is just new. It's never been played before. It just came off the factory line. GameStop will sell complete in box games and loose games at the same price. Not, they won't sell the complete and box games at loose prices. They're selling loose games at complete and box prices, and it peeves people off a little bit, myself included. So when GameStop gets a game that is loose, we have a bunch of these little like these disc boxes underneath. And I say we, I'm no longer affiliated with GameStop, but GameStop, they had a bunch of these game cases, these black generic game cases. I think some of them were Blu-ray. Actually, I think the majority of them were Blu-ray cases. So you'd go onto the little GameStop computer and you would print out this generic GameStop case art. It wasn't even case art, because art implies there's art on it. It just says the name of the game, and then you put it out on the floor like that. Almost nobody buys those pre-owned games because they're priced ridiculously. They're priced like you get the case and the video game manual too. Now you might be thinking, well, so what, Wade? It doesn't matter. You still get the game. Don't you just want the game? Well, it does matter to people. It matters to collectors who are patroning GameStop. It matters to people who want to have like the complete experience with the game. And yes, maybe some people might not think that the box or manual adds to the experience, and that's fine. Then the pre-owned games are for you. I'm just telling you right now that if you were to offer the loose games at lower prices than the complete and box pre-owned games, because sometimes it does happen. Like, you know, a lot of times you'll get someone who trades in a complete pre-owned game, and those fly right off the shelves because in that case, the contingency that one might think for the loose game is in effect. Well, it's still the game. It's got everything you want in the game. It's just cheaper because someone else owned it at one point. If there's a new game and a pre-owned game, and the pre-owned game isn't, like, scuffed up or anything like that, I'm going for the pre-owned every time. I don't need it to be brand new. I just need it to be the complete experience. And those pre-owned games fly right off the shelves. Now, the loose pre-owned games wouldn't be such a freaking albatross if they just priced them correctly according to... And this is all very readily available data on pricecharting.com. It's what I use to figure out what kind of deal I should be getting when I'm buying a video game. Even at a brick and mortar store, I'll use that. After all, the brick and mortar store I mentioned quite frequently, Superbit, they use pricecharting.com to determine what their prices should be, and they frequently update their prices. That's how it should be, because that's how you command the respect of your consumer base. GameStop, the prices do get updated. I'm not going to pretend like the prices do get updated. The thing about video games, it's a very fluid price market, and GameStop is aware of this. One second. We're going with the Aquafina water today. I've always heard bad things about Aquafina and Dasani. Look, water is water is water to me. But before I get too sidetracked, the other problem is that when GameStop is looking to acquire pre-owned games through trade-ins and what have you, they'll give you, if you have a complete copy of a game that you want to trade in, they'll give you the price that would make the most sense for like a loose game. I get it. My solution for GameStop making more money is give people more money for stuff and then sell it for less money than you're currently selling it for. But they're not I promise you here and now, they're not making any money off of these loose games precisely because they're asking for ridiculous prices. Like, people don't like when when you are selling physical video games, you are accepting the precondition that your market is people who do care about physical media to some extent. It is so. My brother, who goes to college in William & Mary, he does not purchase. It's been years since he's purchased a physical video game. He prefers to download it. And that's a lot of people. A lot of people just don't. You either go and deal with GameStop, which is another. God, dealing with GameStop is another situation entirely. And maybe I'll touch on that. I don't know. Or you just sit your butt down on the couch, hit the download button, put in your payment information, and then there you go. I personally don't prefer that. I love my giant shelf full of video games. I like knowing that I have some degree of ownership over the game, and it's not like PT for the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, where they just wiped it off the face of the earth. Like, you can never take this away from me. But when you're dealing with someone like me, you kind of have to cater to my needs. Like, why is it that I want the physical media? Well, part of it is I like the way it looks on the shelf. So you can't sell me or attempt to sell me a copy of a game where it's going to look terrible on my shelf and it's going to cost me the same amount of money as something that would look good on my shelf. And another problem that God, there's just so much to go down with the GameStop rabbit hole. It's a good thing that there's not a whole lot else that I'm covering today, because there's just so much to talk about here. The problem is they're not. They're not actually selling these games at the complete in box prices either. You'd think that if you're a big box store, you'd kind of be able to cut a deal. But a lot of times you'll go in and you'll look at a price on a pre-owned game, and it'll be a perfectly fine pre-owned game. It'll look identical to a new game even. You'll look at the price and then you'll go into price charting and you'll see, oh, it's about $10 more here than it would be on eBay. Maybe that's why GameStop wants to buy eBay so bad, so that they can, manipulate prices so that they can have the lower prices without. I don't think that's legal, but I don't know. You'd have to talk to GameStop about that. But anyway, so we've gone over a lot of issues with GameStop. So they must know that this isn't going to go through, right? They must know that this is not going to happen. So why are they doing this, really? Well, first of all, I guess the only way to guarantee that it doesn't happen is to not make the offer, I guess. I don't see this. I feel like the PR is costing them more money than anything else. Like, I just learned about this, where you can assign a monetary value to advertising. For example, when Red Bull sponsored the highest ever free base jump, like from space, if I remember correctly, it cost them about $5 million or something like that. But someone did the math and figured out that the exposure that they got was worth $60 million or something like that. And Red Bull are the masters of advertising in smart ways that that really do go towards increasing their energy drink sales. This feels like this GameStop thing feels like bad PR. It feels more like a point in, I mean, they're not really doing anything bad necessarily, but it feels a little too much like a point and laugh kind of thing. GameStop needs now more than ever is for people to take them seriously. And that kind of goes back to one of the points I was about to make, but I wasn't sure. It's true what they say. You meet a lot of characters in GameStop. And that includes the employees. One big thing about GameStop is they won't hire people under the age of 18. So a lot of times you'll get people who are, you know, this is their career, you know? And I don't mean to disparage career retail workers, because I don't look down upon career retail workers. Sometimes that's just the career that you take on, and, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But there is something wrong if GameStop is, like, the only job you can do. I've worked with both people. There was a guy who GameStop was his second profession. He actually worked at Bethesda. His name was, ZeniMax, rather, the owners of Bethesda, or the parent company, rather, I should say. And his name was Paul. I almost wish, you know, a part of me wishes that I could have Paul on this show, you know? He was truly a master conversationalist. He was brilliant. He and I, on slow days, we would turn on women's basketball, of all things. This was in Caitlin Clark's rookie year. So, you know, his wife was into women's basketball, and so he and I enjoyed watching it, and it actually makes for, you know, a lot of those games make for really good watching. But then there's the other side of the coin. I had a coworker, I'll call her A, but I just want to make it clear, I have a friend who used to work at GameStop. Her name also starts with an A. This is not the person. I still interact with her, and I still talk with her. I still talk with her very frequently. I haven't spoken to her in a while. I actually need to text her, because I have been slammed with finals, and I kind of ghosted her, because I just went on a finals bender, for a lack of a better term. But this other A, she was 30 years old. She had 3 kids, and she was in custody of none of them. And I learned this on my first day back at the job. My first day I met her, I learned about the fact that her parents had custody of her kids. I was like, okay, that's all right. Way to set the tone here. Way to establish my expectations about your brain. It only got worse. I just hit the microphone. I've got a tendency. I like to lean back in the chair, so I bring the microphone to me, but sometimes that means my arms are liable to hit the mic. The thing about her, first of all, she's a compulsive liar. She claimed that her parents had given her $500,000 in the past year. And, you know, my first thought was, well, what in the wide world are you working at GameStop for? But I digress about that. But the thing I learned, just, you know, not even really related to GameStop, a job is only as bad or as good as the people you do the job with. My friend who was my equal when I first was working at GameStop, is now the manager over at that GameStop. And so, you know, we had a whole lot of fun. I loved working with him. I love working with Paul. But there was something about this other person who, she would just bring the energy down. And by the way, again, I want to make sure I'm absolutely clear. I did work with another woman whose name started with an A at GameStop, and she was awesome, and I'm still friends with her. This person just brought the energy down, because it would... this is probably too old of a reference. There was an SNL bit called Debbie Downer. It was with Rachel Dratch. Lindsay Lohan was in it, and they're at Disney World. And Rachel Dratch, her character is Debbie Downer, and she's just saying all sorts of really depressing stuff about... Like, shit, like they're talking, oh, let's go to the water park. She says, well, you know what they say about water parks? You're more likely to contract conjunctivitis there or something like that. It's just finding ways to intention. And I get it. You know, some people have mental health issues, but look, I've had plenty of friends, and I still do have plenty of friends who... Maybe they're not the most cheerful people, but it's just the intent. It wasn't, when she would say these things, it wasn't like in a depressed, it was like a trauma Olympics way. It was more like asserting dominance by saying something sad. And again, going back to my other friend who is awesome, like she's had a hard knock life, but she never talks about this stuff to that kind of stuff to make a point or pretend to be better than anybody. It's just, you know, stuff that she deals with, and that's okay. I'm not saying that people can't express their feelings to other people. It's just don't Gatling gun it to me. Anyway, I bring this all up mostly as an example of employees who kind of take the wind out of GameStop's sails. And look, I've told this to my friend who's the manager at that GameStop. I told him, listen, buddy, you know I love you, but you have a bad track record of hiring, and I think he knows that. I mean, we might disagree on that a little bit, but that's the employee side. The customer side is equally dubious. I've had some customers who I thought were awesome, who I loved, who were great. For some reason, going back to the shame thing, for some reason, a bunch of 11-year-olds think they're gonna get famous on TikTok by bothering GameStop employees. And I'm not saying the overwhelming majority of these attempted TikTok fame crusades were harmless. They were just some kid walks up to the counter and I can see that he's recording on his phone. Kids, you're not sneaky. You're not sneaky. We know you're recording. He says, do you have the Skibidi Toilet game? Which nowadays I think there actually is one, but I think I said something like, oh, $200 down deposit or something like that. My response to these kids was always dependent on my mood. There was another day where, and I'm probably in the wrong, and I probably overreacted here, but there are these kids who came up to the counter with a pack of Pokemon cards, and he said, can I rock, paper, scissors you for these Pokemon cards? And I said, I don't know what had been going on. I don't remember what had been going on that day, but I said, what? And he says, can I play, like, if I win, I get these Pokemon cards for free. And I told him, look, man, that's not how a business works. You know, what happens if I win? Like, there's no stakes. And of course he knew that. He just won a free pack of Pokemon cards. But I was feeling in a mood that I can't adequately describe lest I anger the FCC. At the time I was in a bad mood, but I told that kid off. I think Paul was there too, actually. I think Paul was a bit nice about it. I was like, hey, well, if it were up to me, then, you know, maybe I would, but, you know, we can't do that, because then inventory is gonna go missing. The way I reacted to some of the stuff was like, okay, and there were little kids who were just like out of control, like just running around screaming. And I get it. GameStop's not a library, you know. You're allowed to be excited in a GameStop, but there were these three little girls who their mother kind of just left them in the GameStop. And I think I was talking about earlier how GameStop sells a bunch of non-video game related crap. And so they were opening a lot of this product, and look, they were like 4 and 5 years old with parents who clearly do not care. So I have a hard time blaming the kids themselves. Maybe a little bit, because you should know better than that. But it was... I didn't want to kick them out. I was in a bit of a pickle because I didn't want to kick them out because, you know, they're these little kids and they don't know where their mom is. I'm not going to go take them to their mom because I'm on shift. I can't put them in timeout because they're not my kids. All I can do is, you know, just be a jerk about it. And, you know, I didn't make any friends that day with those kids. But I had to tell the mother, like, you cannot leave... She paid, and in her defense, she paid for all this stuff, but I had to tell her, you cannot leave your kids in here, especially if they're going to act like that. So, yeah, the customers can be a pain in the butt, too. Now, what does this have to do with the eBay thing? Not a whole lot. My GameStop experience was truly a fascinating one through the lens of the video game zeitgeist as a whole, because you kind of get to see everything. You see the people who will buy a whole system just for one game. You see the top tier collectors. You see, you know, and you make a lot of good, you know. I was talking about the other person whose name starts with an A. She and I are still good friends. We still talk. And I guess that's the case with any job, but it's just a fascinating thing. But the point that I am trying to illustrate through all of this is GameStop isn't exactly the pinnacle of success. There's just based on the content of what they sell and who they cater to and who they are, really. I don't really want to blame who they cater to, because who they cater to is me. It's us, you know? And you can cater to a market that's... I mean, look at Spencer's, right? You can cater to a market that's a little out there and still make a lot of money. I very recently went into Spencer's for the first time with my buddy from high school. And gotta tell you, they've got a crude sense of humor over there. I can see why kids don't exactly go in there, but GameStop's got its issues. And I mean, look, I'm waxing hypothetical here, but it's never gonna happen. The debt is too much. It's just ridiculous. It's a ridiculous idea in general. And honestly,
nobody cares. I care because this is just what I do. This is just, you know, the video game industry news is something that
I always have my finger on the pulse of. But other than that, it's like listening to a homeless man tell you that they're going to take over the moon. All right, we got to do a PSA. I've gone too long without doing a PSA. So, if you'll stand by, we'll go with, what do we want to talk about today in terms of public service? Let's do... Oh my goodness, I see Carly Rae Jepsen. Oh no, you know what? No, you know what we're going to do? We're going to do this one. This isn't as fun as Carly Rae Jepsen, but it's a good one.
Are you looking for a club that celebrates friendship? Then Best Buddies might be the one for you. We organize social events for local folks with disabilities to come to campus and hang out. Some of our highlights of the past years have been our holiday parties, a polar bear plunge in the freezing Chesapeake Bay, our friendship walk with Best Buddies branches from around the state, and a winter formal with over 80 people. And if you want to learn more information, check out our Instagram at BestBuddiesUMB.
I honestly, one of my biggest regrets is that I never gave Best Buddies a try. I knew I had a neighbor who she was the best buddy of my autistic neighbor. God, first of all, God bless that woman's heart. She's not just because of the, you know, being the best buddy thing. She's just a wonderful human being in general. I hope you're doing well, Izzy. But she, I always thought that would be a rewarding, worthwhile thing to do. And I just never did it. So, you know, that's kind of on me. But I think we're done talking about GameStop now. Let's talk about some real news. Let's talk about some news that portends to real stuff. And it's both these things are about Nintendo. So, yesterday, Miyamoto took over Nintendo's Twitter and said, "Hey, Nintendo Direct, right now, get over. Come on. Go, 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 go." And it was a direct for a Star Fox 64 remake for the Switch. It looks great. It's not actually the first Star Fox 64 remake, if you can believe it. On the 3DS, it was called Star Fox 3D, but it was, in fact, a remake of the original Star Fox 64. It's got some new features. It's got a completely new look. I actually like that the look kind of feels like it's harkening back a little bit to the box art from the SNES days, especially with that flowing hair for Fox. Man, it's been a while since there's been any new Star Fox stuff, hasn't there? I mean, the last thing I can think of is Star Fox Guard, which isn't even really a Star Fox game. Well, you know what? There was that add-on for that Ubisoft game with the Toys to Life thing, and the add-on let you use Star Fox ships, but that wasn't really that wasn't a Star Fox game either. But yeah, Star Fox Guard is at least the newest Star Fox game that I remember playing. I don't think there was anything on the Switch for Star Fox, but I do, you know, it's always my favorite when Nintendo, of all people, dip back into the nostalgia bin. I really enjoy, I think they have such an iconic library of properties, and so they know, to our advantage, they know that they can go back to a really old property and, you know, make a lot of money with it. Kind of wish they'd realize that for F-Zero. I really enjoy F-Zero. Now, granted, I think Nintendo might think that with the Fast Racing League games, which I played one of the first the first Fast Racing League with my brothers, and we absolutely loved it. My I think their thinking is, well, if that's on the market, then, you know, we don't really have any new ideas to build off of that. But yeah, so Star Fox, the Star Fox remake is going to be available for the Switch 2, and it's gonna have the $70 price tag. But oh, or is it? I have in my notes here. We're gonna take a trip over to the computer. I have in my notes here that it's $70, but now I don't think that's right, actually. One second. I don't know if you can hear the... We got our drummer back again. I gotta tell you, I don't even have to pay for it, but I get the best background music of any talk show. So we're gonna see. Star Fox price. So they're saying this is from Nintendo Life. I have a confession. Okay, so it's 50. Okay, it is going to be $60 then. It's releasing on the 25th of June. I have a confession to make. I didn't watch the Direct. Again, it has been a brutal week with finals. So it is a remake. First of all, it looks beautiful. I love the 50s space art, the 50s cosmonaut art behind it. I loved it when Outer Worlds did it. I love it when Fallout dabbles into it. I just think it's a really cool artistic style to go back to. But yeah, it is going to be $60. Unless you buy it on the eShop, then it's going to be $59. And it is some arbitrary amount of Great British pounds for those of you listening in from the moon. But yeah, one, it looks great. Two, it's going to release for the Switch only, not the Switch, or the Switch 2 only. No, it's not going to release for the Switch like a lot of these games have been. They've been doing those dual. I have to wonder if it's a matter of, well, it just won't run on the Switch. With the graphical stuff, maybe not. Because one thing you always got to remember with the Switch 2 is it is graphically superior to the Nintendo Switch. Just natively speaking. So, you know, it isn't truly just like a half step upgrade like I sometimes complain about. But this is going to kind of segue into my next bit of news. I'm not going to be picking it up because I don't have a Switch 2, and I'm probably not going to for a while, and I'll tell you why. So, Nintendo just announced that on September 1st, they are going to be increasing the price of a Switch 2 to $500. I have been waiting for the Switch 2 for like a price cut or like a budget version, like a Switch 2 Lite or something like that, because I personally cannot justify to myself paying $450 for a Nintendo Switch 2. I just cannot do it. Now, what's the reason for this? It's the RAM. It's the RAM again. By and large, consumer products are going to be getting more expensive because of the RAM situation. So now I'm in a bit of a spot, right? So I know the price is going up. And this might be one of the reasons why Nintendo is doing this. I know the price is going up. So I have until September 1st to buy a Switch 2 at market value or whatever, $450. The problem, again, is I just don't. I mean, what else? What is on, realistically speaking, what is on the Switch 2? We got Donkey Kong Bonanza. Great game. People love it. It was a sleeper hit. It's got a lot of games that you can play on a PS5, which, as it happens, I have a PS5. Cyberpunk is one of those. Hogwarts Legacy is one of those. Street Fighter 6 is one of those. That's not really the type of game. If I'm going to play a game on a Nintendo console, that's one of the... Nintendo's very strong brand. It's a bit of a blessing and a curse. Like, I'm not... I do not have any desire to play a game like Cyberpunk on a Switch, because it doesn't feel like a Nintendo game to me. And yes, that means the marketing has worked on me brilliantly for Nintendo as a whole. And I admit, yes, I voluntarily drink the Kool-Aid whenever I can for Nintendo, so sue me. That doesn't do anything to the Nintendo, for the Nintendo brand to me, because, you know, oh, so you can play it portably now. Well, how much value does that actually add? This almost feels like the beginning of the PS5, but more importantly, almost feels like the Wii U a little bit. And I did say that it might turn into a Wii U situation where it's a decent system, but there are no freaking games on it. Now, and that's a little unfair for the Wii U, because it did eventually get stuff like Mario Kart 8. It did eventually get Super Mario 3D World. But good lord, tell me honestly, what are the big... Like, when the Nintendo Switch launched, like the original one, when the original Nintendo Switch launched, you had Breath of the Wild, which is, at the time, was arguably the greatest game of all time. There was Nintendo's newest... There was ARMS, which was Nintendo's newest game... Its newest multiplayer game. It was like Splatoon. I mean, it's not like Splatoon. It's just a new property. I don't think they did anything with it, but it was actually pretty good. And then there was 1-2 Switch, which was... It wasn't a pack-in game. It should have been, but it felt like a pack-in game. And it really did... It did a great job of kind of introducing people to the Switch. What in the world did the Switch... I don't think I could tell you what the Switch 2 is launching with. I know the one game, or one collection, I guess, it's coming out for the Switch 2 is Super Mario Galaxy 1 and 2. Super Mario Galaxy has already been released for the Switch on Super Mario 3D All-Stars. Granted, that was an extremely limited release, and now I accidentally own one of the rarest Switch games. That's actually been a great... Just as an investment, I mean, I'm not going to sell it, but that's actually been a great investment for me. If we go to... See, we're going back to pricecharting.com. We're going to go to Super Mario 3D All-Stars. So I have a complete version of the game, right? So I bought it for $60. Right now it's up to $80, or specifically $79.98. It peaked at... For the loose price, it was 80... At one point, it was like 89... Yeah, at one point, in June of last year, it peaked at $95. I don't know how that specifically happened, but that's one of the rarest... That's one of the rarest games that I own. And then technically, I have the rarest PS5 game of all time. Now, I actually got it for free. Concord, if you remember, was mass returned because of just how awful it was. It was so bad that a developer famously gave their development plaque to Goodwill, but it's a very rare physical game copy to have now. So naturally, I had to get it, but it has now cratered to $18 for a complete copy of this dead game. But that's okay. Point I was trying to get, yeah. Switch 2, just in from at this point in time, for me, it just doesn't have any games, or it certainly doesn't have enough games for me to justify spending $450 freaking dollars on it. Oh, that's the other one. For my money, the an experimental Mario Kart game that's worth $80. Well, it's not worth $80. They're pricing it at $80. It's not worth $80. No Mario Kart game is worth $80. I love Mario Kart as much as the next guy. I am an avid enjoyer of Mario Kart. I think it was revolutionary in the arcade racing game scene. No Mario Kart is worth $80. It's ridiculous. But you got, and in fairness, you know, they've been packing it in with certain Switch 2 bundles. That Switch 2 bundle was $500. I don't know what that, I guess it's going to be $550 now. I don't know what the deal is with that. But my, you know, we go back to the Razor and Blade model for Nintendo. Now, it's unclear whether or not they're actually making money on each Switch they're selling, but if they were it's possible that they were losing their butts on some of these Switch 2s after the RAM thing. And on the subject of that RAM thing, I just really hope that I can't foresee what's going to happen there, but I really freaking hope that something happens to balance the market back out, because this is getting absolutely ridiculous with the RAM sticks. Like, I think two RAM sticks these days cost $900 at a consumer market price, because some of these AI companies are willing to pay absurd amounts of money for bulk RAM stick. Well, that's not really the reason. The reason is because AI companies are paying for as many RAM sticks as they can get, so RAM sticks that aren't being fed into AI server farms are harder to come by. So, at this point, I guess we're just kind of capped for now. I almost wish that they, I don't know, see, I don't know a whole lot about RAM sticks and technology of that kind. I can tell you all about stuff like the PS3's cell processing unit. I can tell you all about the x86 architecture, but in terms of like general PC part markets and stuff like that, I really couldn't tell you much about that. So I don't know if there are depreciated versions of RAM sticks where it's like somehow worse. Although then again, I don't know how you can have worse random access memory. I don't know. Like, it takes longer, I guess, but I'm almost willing to, you know, stoop down to lesser versions of that in order to, and just in order to make RAM a little more affordable again. Anyway, that's my rant about that. I unfortunately don't have a game of the week this week, because I haven't been playing anything this week, because I have been dealing with my final projects. Grace might be too. I don't see Grace out there. Let's check to see if we can see Grace. Can we see Grace? We might not get any. Oh, we do have Grace. Okay, Grace is here with coconut water. She was waiting outside. There she is. We got Grace for you here with coconut water. Actually, really quickly, before I go, Grace, if I had to, I don't know if you've heard about this, if I gave you three guesses as to which company GameStop is trying to buy.
eBay.
She's, okay, she has her.